This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Picard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hello, dear listener. Last week we read about the Yoni Puja and how deeply that affected Jess. And today, the journey continues. I hope you enjoy. Day 23. Dear Yoni. A topic that had always intrigued me was female ejaculation. There was something a little bit mystical about it. Some people, medical professionals included, claimed that it simply didn't exist, whereas others insisted that this was a real phenomenon that they had personally experienced. One of the porn videos that I had watched with my ex-husband had featured a woman squirting all over the bed, the walls, and even the ceiling. At the time, I had been rather repulsed by this display and had been absolutely certain that she was just peeing. But a little part of me had been really intrigued. So when I came across a short video clip about female ejaculation that gave some background and some really great tips, I decided that this was something that you and I needed to explore together. After all, I had been following my curiosity thus far. Why not just a little bit further? Apparently, in ancient India, the female ejaculate fluid was called Amrita. This translates as divine nectar or nectar of immortality. Amrita was considered to be a sacred and mystical fluid that had amazing regenerative and rejuvenative properties. Lovers would drink the fluid and anoint themselves in it. I wasn't sure that I would be going that far, but I definitely wanted to try and experience a little bit of the magic for myself. A small amount of research informed me that Amrita is definitely not urine. It is actually very similar in composition to male prostatic fluid and contains similar antigens and enzymes. It also contains almost 700 different proteins. The sugars glucose and fructose and trace amounts of urine. It is less thick and creamy than male ejaculate because it obviously doesn't contain semen, and it usually tastes light and sweetish, or so I'm told. Although the taste and aroma will vary, apparently, depending upon where the woman is in her monthly cycle. The amount produced varies from a spoonful up to a cupful, which didn't really explain the porn video I had seen. I suspect that wasn't an entirely accurate representation of the phenomenon. Now, for a bit of biology. The mythical G-spot in women can be found a few centimeters inside the vagina on the side closest to the belly. It feels ridged, a bit like the roof of your mouth, except spongier. Located near the G-spot in women, there is the so-called female prostate, or the urethral sponge. It is made of erectile tissue, which swells and becomes engorged with fluid when the G-spot is stimulated, or when a woman is generally turned on. The urethral sponge wraps around the urethra, which is why when the sponge becomes engorged, it puts pressure on the urethra, which feels to many women like they need to urinate, when actually they're getting ready to squirt. Amrita is produced in the Skene's glands, which are embedded in the urethral sponge. These glands end through openings into the urethra, so the fluid is ejected through the urethra, which is why so many people believe that it is urine. However, as I've already noted, the composition is clearly very different from urine. The benefits of female ejaculation were said to include a very deep sense of release, an opening, and a relaxation. Many claim that it could help with the release of trauma and emotional blockages. It certainly seemed as if it would encourage a woman to connect more deeply with her own sexuality. and to open up more to her partner or partners. This all sounded pretty wonderful, and so I felt ready to give it a try. This would be my next solo exploration. Chapter 18, The Nectar of the Gods. I was feeling pretty cozy in my comfortable nest of soft blankets and cushions, and ready to start my deep dive into the unknown waters of Amrita. Sitting upright, I started off doing my heart breaths, and then connecting my heart with my genitals, just as the Loras had taught me to do before any self-pleasuring practice. I had already set my intention to simply explore the possibilities, without the goal of achieving any specific outcome. I wanted to be sure that I wasn't setting myself up for a sense of failure if I wasn't able to ejaculate. Whatever happened, I would be learning something new and having fun, whilst connecting with my own body and my own sexuality. I started off massaging my body with coconut oil, spending a lot of time on my breasts and breathing deeply and relaxing as I did so. After about 20 minutes, I began gently massaging my yoni lips and my clitoris. I did this not with the goal of orgasm, but just breathing deeply into the sensations and being totally present in the moment. When the time felt right, I asked my yoni if I could penetrate her and then waited until I received a definite yes response. It seemed as if I was becoming far more adept at speaking yonis the more I practiced. Using my index finger, I gently massaged around the opening of my vagina and then moved in deeper to locate my G-spot. I could feel the ridges of my G-spot about 4 centimeters into my vaginal canal, on the side towards my belly. I began to lightly and gently stimulate my G-spot using a come hither movement with my index finger, as well as circular movements and up and down movements. It did indeed feel like I needed to pee, but I knew that this was simply the engorgement of my urethral sponge, as I had completely emptied my bladder before starting. I began to combine the G-spot stimulation with clitoral stimulation, and this felt unbelievably good. Shortly thereafter, I did have a wonderful clitoral orgasm, but alas, no Amrita. So I continued to stimulate my G-spot using stronger strokes. Eventually, my poor finger got so tired that I started using my curved obsidian wand instead. And this made all the difference, as I was able to use really strong stimulation without tiring myself out. I just breathed through the urge to pee, and eventually it subsided. I felt incredibly turned on, but in a very different way from when the clitoris is stimulated. Finally, I felt a powerful urge to bear down. So I did that, removing the wand just in time, and suddenly, there it was, a strong fountain of fluid erupting from my yoni and absolutely drenching the towels I'd put in place to protect my cushions. It seemed to be an enormous amount of fluid that just kept coming. There was no normal orgasm, but rather a feeling of immense release and letting go. When it finally ended, and I lay relaxing in a daze on the cushions, I suddenly started to sob. I didn't know why, because I felt no real sadness, but just a massive sense of letting go of something from deep within. What a beautiful and powerful experience. When the sobbing finally subsided, I felt completely transformed, lighter and freer in some indefinable way. Something had definitely been healed in me through this process. I didn't know what it was, but I felt no real need to know either. Reading further about female ejaculation much later, I discovered that the release of Amrita is often accompanied by the release of deep, healing emotions. I read that it's quite normal to ejaculate without orgasm, although the two processes can often happen at the same time. Apparently, ejaculation and orgasm happen in 2 different parts of the brain. And the same is true for men. This is why it is possible for men to train themselves to experience orgasms without ejaculation. If they do so, then they are also able to have multiple orgasms, just like women can. I was utterly amazed at what our miraculous bodies are capable of. Why are we not taught these things? Why is there such deep shame and guilt around exploring our bodies and our sexuality? We spend a lifetime in these bodies, and it is by far the most intimate relationship we will ever have. Why not explore them as deeply as we can and discover all that they are capable of? It's as if we're living in a wonderful mansion, but we keep certain of the doors locked and absolutely refuse to explore those rooms. What could possibly be so terrifying that we don't even want to take a peep behind those locked doors? And what amazing experiences could we be losing out on by refusing to look? I decided that I really needed to find a way of sharing what I was learning with other women. I also longed to find a male partner with whom I could fearlessly experiment with all of these amazing new discoveries. It would be a while, but this was indeed lying ahead for me. Day 24. Dear Yoni, experiencing female ejaculation for myself was simply wonderful and extremely illuminating. On our fascinating journey towards more conscious sexuality, you and I have certainly had some very powerfully transformative experiences together, and also some extremely wacky ones. And the two were definitely not always mutually exclusive. But I've come to realize that it's all just a continuum of experience, and certainly what I would once have found to be completely off the wall is now pretty normal for me. In the process, I've learned the difference between judgment and discernment. If I judge someone or something, I am, in effect, saying that the person or experience is somehow wrong or generally unacceptable. But if I practice discernment, I can say that an experience is definitely not for me, but it may be perfectly valid and acceptable for another, or even for a future version of myself. I was astounded by how rapidly my entire outlook had shifted over the past few years along the continuum from normal to what I would previously have dismissed as completely woo-woo. So I knew that the me I would be tomorrow, or next week, or next year, was a very different me than I was at this moment. This attitude allowed for a lot more flexibility, and, I dare say, a lot more fun. I thought it might be interesting and instructive to take a little trip down memory lane and recount some of the experiences that were definitely on the outer fringes of woo-woo for me. Even more interesting, I believe, will be to see how many of these become normal for me as I progress along my journey. The first experience that comes to mind was a shamanic womb journey, which I did during a webinar. This was touted as a mystical journey into the ancient secrets of the divine feminine. Even upfront, it sounded a bit airy-fairy for my taste. But I had learned to keep an open mind, and so I joined the webinar with a sense of curiosity and adventure. The journey was all about traveling through 5 different physical and energetic gates into the womb. Each gate had a key, and, once unlocked with that key, would allow access to ever deeper parts of the divine feminine. As my attention was brought to a gate, I was instructed to experience the energy of that specific key in order to unlock and open the gate. As an example, the first gate was the labia of the yoni, and the gate key was trust. Whilst focusing on the labia, we were instructed to concentrate on the energy of trust, to feel what trust felt like in the body, and then to begin to breathe trust in and out of the yoni lips until the gate opened and the next gate could be accessed, which was the G-spot, to which the key was gratitude. I think you get the general idea. The final gate to divine unity was to be found deep within the womb, and the key was ecstasy. I have to admit that this particular experience just didn't land for me, although it was certainly deeply relaxing and I felt very refreshed and energized afterwards, but I certainly didn't experience the mystical states that I was told I would. Possibly because much of the time was spent trying to overcome my skeptical response. One thing I did learn from this experience, though, was to become aware of my womb, probably for the first time in my life, and to actually ask my womb for her perspective and for her wisdom. I guess if you, my dear Yoni, have a perspective and valuable input on my life, then my womb certainly has too. I definitely did experience an energetic presence in my womb with an unique perspective, distinct from the usual perspective of my mind, and even distinctive from my Yoni's perspective. My womb had wisdom to share with me, much of which was a revelation to me. So there may just be something to this particular woo-woo after all. Then I also attended a red tent retreat for women, where I slept, ate, danced, processed, journeyed, laughed and cried with a group of women for 6 extremely intense days of inquiry and celebration of what it means to be a woman. It was a powerful experience, but not one that I would repeat again in a hurry. Just too much estrogen in a confined space for too long. I went on several shamanic journeys, utilizing drumming, breathwork, plant medicine, and even, on one particularly notable occasion, communal self-pleasuring, to access altered states of reality in order to do various kinds of inner work. I attended cuddle parties and participated in puppy pals and did various forms of embodied therapy. I also learned and practiced several meditation techniques, fasted, detoxed, did conscious dance, shadow hunting, and emotional release tools, and completed pages upon pages of journaling and exhaustive and often exhausting self-analysis. Some of these experiences were profound, and some were profoundly awkward and weird. But every single experience taught me something new about myself, even if what I learned was to never do that again. When I look back on my journey, I often have to smile because when I decide to do something, I certainly throw myself in, boots and all. But it's hard to believe that I'm the same person who was stuck in such a boring rut with James only a few short years ago. So much has changed for me, and now, in retrospect, and with the benefit of hindsight, I can honestly say that my marriage ending was the very best possible outcome for me, even though it was a deeply painful experience at the time. What, I wondered, lay ahead for me next on this fascinating and exciting journey? Day 25. Dear Yoni, I guess I've been feeling a bit nostalgic over the past few days because I've been rereading my entries in this pillow book from the start of our journey together. What an amazing roller coaster ride we've been on. In a few short years, I have gone from feeling totally disconnected from you and from my entire body to feeling deeply present in my body most of the time. You have truly awakened, and I'm aware now of such acute sensitivity, such receptivity, such aliveness, such intelligence in you, my dear Yoni, that it has now become second nature to ask you and my womb for your opinion on every decision that I make. It feels as if my body and my sexuality has really come online in such a profound and powerful way that I realize now that I was half dead before. This lush, juicy vitality that I now experience in every moment has changed my entire life. Not just my sex life, even though that remains, for now, a strictly solo affair. I feel resourced and connected to myself in a way that I didn't even know was possible before. I receive knowing and intuitions about people and situations from you and from my womb that just shouldn't be possible, but somehow are. I wish, dear Yoni, that I could somehow impart this experience to other women. It feels so natural, as if this is how we all should feel, all of the time. Somehow, we need to find a way to share what we have experienced, my dearest Yoni. I'm going to have to find the courage and a suitable medium to do so. Although I've had so many incredible and some very wacky experiences during the past few years, there's still one particular experience that I yearn to have before I feel as if I've reached the end of this particular phase of my journey of discovery. And that experience is to raise my sexual energy during an intimate connection with another being, from my root all the way to the crown and into divine union with God. I wish to experience my dream in real life. I have realized that if I want to experience this with another person, then first I need to learn to do this on my own. I have to learn to raise my own kundalini energy. I have definitely mastered the practice of raising my sexual energy and moving it around my body. I have learned how to have energy orgasms pretty much at will, and I have learned how to enter into prolonged states of bliss by using the techniques of extending my orgasmic state. Now I want to take these learnings to the next level and actually have the spiritual experience, which is the raising of the kundalini and the final connecting of my sexuality and spirituality. This is definitely the next step on my journey. That's it for today, dear listener. Join me again next time. Bye-bye.